have taken all kind of notes. They have notebooks full of the word and assignments. You know, they have on their computer. They have documents, sections on their phone and on their computer that's loaded with notes, outlined with numbers and ABC order, scripture text, everything arranged and outlined beautifully. But they haven't prayed over these notes. They haven't confessed them. They haven't meditated, studied. And they haven't invited God in their prayer life and their study so that he could come in and with his power, he can open their minds, open the eyes of their understanding so they'll understand what it is they're reading and what they need to do.
And we have been you are an awesome ruler. So this is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save humanity.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Listeners and supporters of John Montgomery International Ministries. For the entire month of January, we are celebrating Dr. Montgomery's birthday. If he's been a blessing to you through the teaching and preaching of God's word, let us be a blessing to this great man of God in a tangible way. Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Dr. Montgomery's Cash App is Dr. JEM2, or you can send it to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Thank you for your love and support to this great man of God. Wishing him a very happy birthday.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Get your Bibles and turn them, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want to commence reading at verse 11, recorded are these words. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good,
yes,
and death,
yeah,
and evil.
Yes, yes.
In that I command thee this day,
yes,
to love the Lord thy God,
yes,
to walk in his ways,
yes,
and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply,
yes,
and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while again, as we look at this text, I want to speak from the subject, choosing your position and possessions. Choosing your position and possessions. The Lord God reminds Israel, and this message historically deals with the children of Israel, but pragmatically it is the same truth that is given to the believer here today and now, because this truth has not changed and God's principles do not change, and God has still commanded us to love him today as he did the children of Israel in yesterday. And so as we look at this word, there are some things that we can look out that are timeless. We can pull out that are timeless. And when we look at these things, it would help us to see what God is saying to the believer even today. One of the things that I love about the Lord is if you start reading in the first verse of this 30th chapter and read on, you're going to see God sharing with them his mercy towards Israel. And that same mercy toward Israel is the same mercy he extends to the believers today. And again, all of the things that he talks about are lining themselves up with the blessings and benefits of choosing him, or the burden and the destruction of not choosing him. And so the good and the bad are listed here in these chapters and in these verses to give us an understanding of how God feels about those who attach themselves to him, who are connected to him, and how they ought to operate in conjunction with him. And so some things, as you look at, you'll see how God has given not only to Israel but to the believer today the understanding that where we are is largely determined by what we choose. I think it's easier most time for us to blame other folk for where we are. I think it's easier sometimes for us to point the finger in our relationship with God as it relates to us claiming the good, but we refute the bad. And that's fine and good, with the exception of the fact when we've caused the bad, we don't want to own up for it. And so one of the things that we've got to realize is God makes clear to Israel, though he's speaking corporately to the entire body, he again makes clear that this is a choice that all of us must make within this corporate structure, that we are where we are by the choices we made. Choosing your position, choosing your place, is a personal decision. Say it's a personal decision. Listen, nobody can choose a position like the Lord is speaking about but you, for you. And it's clear that even God himself can't do that for you. He can only place it before you and give you opportunity to align yourself with it or to walk contrary to it. But the ultimate decision is yours. So to begin to think about this thing and to get our understanding correct, when I look at my life, when you look at your life, if I'm happy with my life or dissatisfied with my life, the truth of the matter is that it's all because of the makeup of the choices collectively that I made. Now here's the thing, if I'm happy with my life, then it means I need to keep on making good choices. But if I'm unhappy with my life, it's clear that the choices I've made were not the right ones. But what I can do from this day forward to make my unhappy state a happy state is, by the mercy of God, been given a fresh chance to make a new choice today. I need to make choices that please God and ultimately profit me. So notice what he goes on and he says to them, verse 11, for this commandment which I command, who? thee. Who is thee? That's you. That's me. That's us. This day, today, not tomorrow, not yesterday, here, today. Look at what he says. It is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. So now he's dealing with verse 11 through 15 with making choices. And then what he begins to make clear is that the choices are close. Now, so many times the consequences of our choices may not be as close, apparently, as the choice is, but they are connected. And so sometimes what we don't understand is that the change can't come till the choice is made. And some of us are looking for the change before we make the choice. And it ain't gonna happen like that. You have got to make the choice. Connected with the choice is the change, which flows out in the consequences. Now, I want you to see this, because one of the things the Lord says about this word, and it's so very clear, he says, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. So now he's saying, listen, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Don't pretend you don't know the answer. You do know the answer. The question is, do you want to adhere to the answer? He says, verse 12, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Look at what he says. But the word is very nigh. The word is very close. Listen at this. Now, I want you to see how close it is. He says, in thy mouth and in thy heart. Now, that's something God says about that. He says, in the abundance of the heart doth the mouth speak. Now, hear this and hear it well. When I make a choice to choose my position in that God has presented to me as an option or a choice, or a choice with options, then what I must come to recognize is that for the choice to be concluded in that I've decided, I've got to say so. In other words, you really don't have a position till you open up your mouth and say it. I've got to choose my position by speaking it out of my mouth. That's confession. Hear me well, because there are some things the Lord knows. Well, he knows everything, but according to Matthew chapter 6, just because he knows our needs and just because he knows our situation and just because he knows our condition doesn't mean that he's under warrant to do something about it until we open up our mouth and speak it. Matter of fact, Jesus said, the Lord knows what you have need of before you even ask him. Before you open your mouth and start praying, God has already had record of every situation concerning and connected to you, but he's not going to do anything about it until you open up your mouth. He says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So that's confession, and it's powerful. It's very powerful. Listen at this, because again, you need to watch what comes out of your mouth. Now, here's something else I want to include in this to help you understand. It's amazing that what comes out of your mouth is already in your heart. Did somebody get that? What comes out of your mouth is already in your heart. Listen to this. Everything that's in your mind don't come out your mouth. Some of y'all looking at me like I'm making this up. Some of y'all are thinking some thoughts right now. It's in your mind. But you better not let it come out your mouth. Would be real that there are some things in my mind has never come out of my mouth. You've thought some thought that you ain't told nobody. Even when you were with yourself, you ain't tell yourself. But what's in your heart? Listen. And when it continues to grow it becomes abundant. And out of the abundance will your mouth speak. So now when you begin to reach that point of understanding, God has put before us life and good, death and evil. What is my position? Because what I really feel in my heart, what I really know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's what I'm going to speak out of my mouth. And notice our conversation. Notice what we speak out of our mouths. It is but a reflection of what is in our hearts. That's why you got to keep negativity to a minimum. I don't care what you see, I don't care what you hear, I don't care how you feel. You've got to be careful to make sure that you only speak what your heart knows to be the word of God. Because when you confess that, remember, you are making a choice every time you open up your mouth to side with life and good or with death and evil. Every time you open, that kills me. Well, that's your confession. That makes me sick. That get on my nerves. On and on and on and on. That's your confession. That's a part of death and evil. That's what you are speaking. Listen at this. Even if the situations are adverse, even if the situations are not right, what you've got to realize, because you are, and greater is he that is in you, then you have the power of the word to speak it in a corrective mode. See, you don't have to just speak what you comprehend. You can speak what you want to correct. Too many folks speak just what they see, but you ought to speak what he says. And if you learn how to speak what he says, and every time you open your mouth and speak, that is a choice. Remember that. You are choosing good with life or death with evil. Now keep in mind what the word says. He says, again, it is very nigh unto thee. Now why does he say it is very nigh unto thee? The choice is yours. The information is there. The inspiration is there, but the choice is yours. Why is it very nigh? Because again, it's not conclusive until you speak it.
Amen.
It is not conclusive until you say it. Look at what the next verse says. See, comma, pause.
Yes.
We gonna park, but we ain't staying. That's the problem with a whole lot of you. You don't see. That's why the rest of this don't make sense to you. See, he's really literally saying, get the revelation of this. See? It's a spiritual truth. He's speaking to us in spiritual terms, and he's trying to get us to grasp the spiritual context of what he is saying, because all of that that is in the spiritual will play itself out, manifest itself, come to fruition in the flesh when we see it in the spirit. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Now look at this, because again, as he's talking about choosing what is close to you, the decision based on the word, you hear it, then you speak it, and then you shall receive it as you believe it. He wants us to know something else, that as he moves now from just choosing this life that he wants us, that's so close to us, he wants us, as we choose, to make a commitment, because some of us will decide to choose the Lord today but leave the Lord tomorrow. So choosing doesn't in itself get you everything that God says. That's just the beginning to that. Because to receive all that he has, you have to make a commitment. Somebody say commitment. How many of you know commitment is the continuance to the prize or the goal that you have set your hopes or desires on? Commitment. That's what's important, because if we don't continue in with that we've started on, we will not get the prize. How many of you know that there are not many races that I even am aware of that will pay you to start but not finish? How many races will give you a prize for just starting on your way but not finishing your way? No, it's not set up to start. A whole lot of us have made good starts in many things and have not finished them. If we look back over our lives are filled with incompletions of things we have started, things we've not completed, things we've not finished, and we'll see that list is longer than those things we have completed. Why? Because that was not a commitment that was adhered to that brought it to fruition. Listen at this word, verse 16, because he's talking about a commitment here. But the same word, it seems to involve into not only a commitment, but to a clinging, a cleaving. And he brings that out later in the 20th verse. But look at what he says in verse 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. Now, if I love him, look at what this progressive order relates. It says also to walk in his ways, because I can't walk in his ways unless I love him.
All right.
And to keep his commandments. I can't keep his commandments unless I walk in his way. And I can't walk in his way unless I love him. And his statutes. His statutes and his commandments are also like his judgments. All of that has to do with his law or his word or his order or his structure. All of those things are necessary for me to walk in, but I can't walk in them unless I love him. And then he goes on to say, because if I do those things, I will live and multiply. Now keep this in mind, because when I choose my position to love God, to walk in his ways, to obey his commandments, to obey his statutes, to obey his judgments, the word says I'm going to live. But when I live, there's going to be an increase, there's going to be a development, there's going to be a multiplying happening in my life.
Yes, yes.
Now something's wrong if you are living and not multiplying.
Yes, yes.
I get so tired of believers with negative conversation concerning things both in the spirit realm and the natural realm concerning lack and slack. You have what you say. If you stop saying what you see and say what he said, you might see some of the stuff he said. Looking at somebody else's stuff ain't gonna make you get no stuff. But you got some stuff that he's got reserved in your name, but you have got to choose your position so that you can receive your possessions. I want to share this with somebody. I want to say this to you, and I want you to hear this and hear this well. Nobody but you stops you from receiving from God. Nobody but you stops you from receiving from God. Your enemy, Satan himself, cannot stop you from receiving from God. Don't get the focus twisted. Keep it on God. Let me ask a question today. How many of you, honestly, and will be real enough with me, because you know a whole lot of folks say they don't need this, they don't need that, this don't matter, that don't matter, it don't take all this, it don't take all that, you know, you can't use but this and you can't use but that, and all the rest of this old stuff. But how many of you, even if you chose not to have the best that this world had to offer, would like to have privilege to having it? I mean, listen, it's not everybody's desire to drive a BMW or Mercedes-Benz or, you know, Infiniti or Bentley or Rolls Royce or Lamborghini or Diablo or, you know, Ferrari. Or, I can keep on going because that's my passion. But it's good to see Johnny and Brother Jackson and all these roll up in all of these cars I just named. And if I chose to drive a Volkswagen, I ought not hate on them because they chose to drive what they wanted to. And listen, I would not hate if I could go tomorrow and get one just like that. But you know when I start hating? Because I can't do what they do. And what I don't understand is what I further do is lock myself in a rut. And I lock myself in a place of decisions that go opposite of the word, the will, and the way of God. So I miss out on my blessings because I'm hating on somebody else's blessings. Because I chose death and evil. I spoke that to my situation by condemning somebody else. So listen at this. I want you to see, because when you look at this word, and see how God has arranged this word. He says again, that thou mayest live and multiply. So that means everything in my life ought to have a spirit of growth and increase and development as I live. As I live. My life ought to become fuller and richer in both spiritual and natural things as I live. I don't have to spend it all, but I ought to have it to spend. Even if I choose to give it away, if I choose to leave it to somebody else, I ought to have it, because the Bible says a good man. And you ain't no good man unless you can leave an inheritance to your children's children. Add another children. See, but when you start talking to us's, you know, you can go to other places and it's all right to talk that. It's okay. It's all right for them to have. But when it comes to us, then we got a different mentality. No, we're going to straighten that mentality out, and we're going to straighten it out for the believers who want what God wants for them. It don't matter what nobody else thinks about that. It's you and God. Touch somebody and say, it's me and God. It's my decision. Now listen, if you choose life, look at what the word says. The Lord thy God shall bless thee. Now see, I had to hold myself. Because when I started thinking about the folk who didn't bless me, and God reminded me in scripture that they couldn't bless me, they weren't the ones who were gonna bless me. It was him. And anybody who does anything for me, it's because he has already done something for them. Listen, you can't do nothing for me unless the Lord has done something for you. You are already blessed to be a blessing. And when you understand that, you start enlarging your capacity to be a greater blessing by aligning yourself with the word of God and the will of God and the way of God. Because listen at this, you start realizing that you are operating in kingdom principles when God can count on you to be a blessing to somebody else. That means I've got more than I need. That means I've got enough to be a blessing to somebody else. That means that I ain't lacking and slacking, and I ain't around here poor-mouthing and complaining. Whatever the Lord needs that I have use of, he knows he can use, because when I release it, he's going to give me more. Listen at this word. Listen. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee. Now, where is he going to bless me? In the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now, look at how the Lord doesn't put limits on where I want to go. In the land whither. Look. I want you to see this. In the land whither. Not where I tell you to go. But you can choose where you want to live. When you get there, I'm gonna bless you there. Oh, help me, somebody. I know a place. See, they ain't on their job. They sitting over there looking. Question ought to be, where do you want to be? It ain't about where somebody else wants you to be. The question is, where do you want to be? I want to be in a place where there, again, represents God's blessings, his benefits, abundance. I want to be in a place where there's peace and where there's joy. I want to be in a place where there's no more drama, Mary Blige said. The only drama I want is when the devil show up at my house and can't get in. I wish I had a witness here. Drama could be outside the door, but I don't want it inside. I wish I had a witness. When I sit down and eat my oatmeal, I want to be able to eat it in peace. I don't want to have tears flowing in my... Lord, I wish I had a witness here. I don't want my lips trembling when I put my spoon in because my heart is hurt. I want to have joy and peace.
the blessings of the Lord in the place. So that anything, I mean, listen, when I walk in the place, I mean, I don't care what the world is filled with. When I walk in the house, that's the closest place to heaven on earth. Because God resides there. His promises, his peace, his provisions reside. See, if you don't have a place like that, something's wrong. But you have got to choose that.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for